Well, good morning again. It's me again. Merry Christmas again. I just like saying that. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. It's a great time of year. I love it. This is the time where we get like Christmas countdown is in full swing. And today we just want to look at what that means. How do we interact with this whole season called Christmas and this whole time right now we're going through, which is Advent, which is anticipating what's happening, because the anticipation of the season is actually really part of the fun part, right? Like, you know, when you're anticipating, I think depending on, I don't know where you're at, but I enjoy anticipating what's going to happen on Christmas Day. You know, there is the gifts and everything, but just even anticipating the services that we're having, but being together. So this season is all about anticipating things that are coming. But as Christians, we're also anticipating things that are coming, like not just this month or this season, and we're not just celebrating Jesus who came the first time, but we're anticipating him coming the second time. So we're really excited about that. Like, we want to figure out, how do we do that? How do we live in this situation where we're anticipating and celebrating what's happened and how Jesus has come and the celebration to come in a few weeks, but also him coming again, which is going to be really awesome. And I remember one of the things that can happen with anticipation is you can kind of get like disappointed. Or if you don't prepare yourself in a right way, or you kind of miss the point of what you're anticipating, you end up kind of going, huh, really? And so one of the things that when I was a kid, we had, I didn't have a whole lot to be anticipated or to anticipate on Christmas, because most of the time we didn't really have one. You know, we didn't have any money at all. A lot of the food at times that we got was, you know, in the form of food baskets. You know, back then, it was, well, at least in our area in Canada, it was very, very common for them to bring a food basket. And sometimes it would actually be in a basket, but it would be full of food. And I remember seasons of time where we're living on just macaroni. Like, you know, old school macaroni. You know, the little U-shaped ones? Not mac and cheese. Macaroni. That's all we had to eat for a week. Not mac and cheese. Macaroni. So when it came to Christmas time, there wasn't a whole lot. It was just another day. You know, I mean, we just got up. But there was one year where my oldest brother, he said he was going to send me something, and I was stoked. I'm just like, my goodness, this is going to be so cool, and I'm waiting for it, I'm waiting for it. You know, the anticipation was killing me. I'm just like, I'm so excited, I get a Christmas present this year. You know, and waiting, 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 it finally came in the mail, and I opened it, and it was this. You know that little thing there. The air is human, to really foul things up requires a computer. So, because I like computers at that time. So my brother goes through this thought. He knew me enough to know what would be, you know, I would err. And, you know, it's kind of the play on words. I think the actual phrase is, to err is human, but to forgive is divine. So I get this and I'm like, oh. I've been waiting for a long time and I get this stupid sign, you know. And at that age, I completely missed the fact that my brother spent some time thinking about me and actually knew me enough to know something that would relatively be interesting to me, you know, and get the humor of the sign. And then he mailed it. You know, just didn't email it to me. You know, it wasn't like scan it and send it. He sent this to me. And I completely missed this, the relational side of it. It's like my brother actually cared. But, you know, as a young teenager, I was probably about 16 at the time, and it's just like, meh, you know. And sometimes that happens when we anticipate things. If we don't prepare ourselves properly, or if we don't engage with that anticipation, or if our focus on what we're getting out of this thing is off, we miss the point. And so how do we do that? How do we live in the state of anticipation of this season and the days to come? So, you know, as we long for Jesus' return. So today, once again, we mentioned that we're going to do the Advent, and so if you did today's reading already, or if you're going to, this will kind of give it a little different angle on it. But we're going to look in the book of Malachi, and so what happened right now is the Israelites had been taken captive for a long time, right? So just through all a huge series of events, they ended up going into captivity, and Jerusalem and their country was decimated. Their city of Jerusalem was decimated, and the temple was destroyed. So where we're picking it up here in Malachi, they're actually back, and the temple's been rebuilt, and they've been anticipating God showing up to to do some miraculous things, but he hasn't yet. So they had prepared this temple, and they got it ready, and they thought that God was going to show up. And so we pick it up here in Malachi 3:1, and this is God responding to them, kind of. Throughout Malachi, they've been kind of whining, you know, and complaining, and like, God, where are you doing? Why aren't you doing this? Where's the justice? They want to see justice. And God's been kind of pushing them back, going, well, you know, you guys want all kinds of stuff, and you want me to move, but your lives are a disaster. You know, you want justice, and yet you're out there doing all the things that you want justice for. You know, you're not very good. You're living in sin and whatnot. And so there was this kind of confusion in their lives of what was happening. But this is what God says to them through the prophet Malachi. He says, "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty." So this is a scripture that they quote in the New Testament, but, you know, prepare the way. He's saying that, okay, I'm going to send somebody to prepare the way. And we just saw a little story about, you know, the birth of this somebody who came and prepared the way the first time, right? John the Baptist prepared the way for the Lord. So God sent him to prepare the way for Jesus. And it's interesting that one of the things John did is he baptized people and with water, but he called them to repentance. So this preparing the way for the Lord involved this repentance. And at the time, the Israelites, who are whining about God not showing up, he's trying to say to them too at that time, you know, you prepared this temple for me, but you haven't prepared your hearts. You need to prepare a way for me. And then he comes, and he did come, right? And the first time he came totally unexpectedly. No one thought he would be this little baby born in a manger. They thought king riding on a horse, you know, big sword, come in, crush everyone, show those Romans who's boss, you know, kind of mic drop moment, boom, can't touch this as he's sitting on the throne in Rome or something like that. I don't know. You know, I mean, they had these weird pictures, and he came totally different. And many, many of the people at that time missed him. Even though John was there preparing the way for him to come, and that the people of Israel in general, you know, right before Jesus came and for a long, long time have been anticipating the Messiah coming. It was foretold. All of Scripture, you know, points to Jesus coming. And the fact, and then after the fact that he came, kind of pointing back to Jesus and that day he arrived. So, but they completely missed it because Jesus didn't show up the way they expected. The second time that Jesus is going to show up, I don't know what that's going to look like. You know, right now there's a lot of talk about end times. There's a lot of talk about prophecy, and people are digging into the book of Revelations and all of that. And we had a discussion with the pastors here who meet on Thursdays, and we were kind of talking about that. And one of them made a really good point. He's like, you know, we need to look at the book of Revelation not as a crystal ball. You know, not as like, oh, what's going to happen? And, you know, we were talking about how I spent some time listening to a teacher talk about how the locusts, you know, that attack and the stinging locusts and their heart is iron, that those were the Apache attack helicopters. You know, so you can do all kinds of weird stuff in the book of Revelations. It's like, okay, this means this. And oh, this is totally Russia. No, this is, you know, I don't know. But instead of using it as a crystal ball, use it as a roadmap to move us towards the Lord. Use it as a roadmap to make sure that we're moving in that direction so that our anticipation of his second coming, we're actually preparing our hearts. But when he comes, this is Jesus' words. And I like how the ESV puts it, but Matthew 24:29-30 said, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will darken, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the heavens, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on clouds of heaven with power and great glory." The second time he's coming, you know, I don't know how it's going to look like or what it's going to look like, but he's coming to put everything to rights, you know. He's coming to permanently fix it all. But part of what we need to do is to understand the fact that we don't just hunker down and wait for that time. That's going to be a glorious day. Once again, I don't know, maybe he will come on clouds, you know. I don't know, that'd be kind of interesting, you know, coming down, and talks about him wearing a white robe and dipped in blood, and he's got a gold sash, and he's got a sword coming out of his mouth. I mean, if you look at the imagery from Revelation, just maybe, I don't know, that'd be kind of kind of weird and cool all at the same time. You know, I'm sure I'd be just like, woo, and probably pass out because that's just overwhelming. You know, if he's coming in his great power and glory, I don't know. But until that time, we don't just hunker down. We can prepare for that time. And that's what we're called to do. We prepare for that time when he finally comes again. So it's not just hunkering down. And I think one of the big parts of this, as we'll see, is what John the Baptist was calling people to do, and that's to repent. And we've said it this way for weeks now here on Sunday mornings. Deal with your stuff, people. We need to deal with our stuff. We really do, because we all have stuff we need to deal with, and we need to deal with it. So let's read on here in Malachi. This is kind of this is the continuation of that and the coming of the Lord. In Malachi 3, verse 2, he says, "But who can endure this day of coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver." So he's talking about coming in and not in a hoorah sense that, you know, okay, now we're going to get everything we want and whatnot. But he's coming in to say, I'm going to refine you. Now, I don't know about you, but those two images of the refining fire and the launderer's soap, I mean, have you done laundry or seen someone do laundry old school? There's a lot of beating involved, you know. And there is. And they didn't have soap like we think of now. It was more, I think it was lye or something, but it was more about making the clothes whiter again, you know, and that's this whole, you know, making us white as snow, the refiner's fire. It was an aggressive process. How's that? And the point of the scriptures, he says, who can endure the day? Who can stand? You know what the answer is to that? Nobody. That's the point. If Jesus shows up, and when he shows up again, no one can stand before him. Not a single person who's ever lived or whoever will live will be able to stand in that moment unless you know him, unless you are covered by his righteousness, unless the refiner's fire has purified you, unless you have repented of your sin and acknowledged that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And he sets you free from sin and death. Because then in that moment, you'll be able to stand. And maybe you won't. Maybe your knees will hit the ground, but it won't be because of fear of damnation. It'll be because of awe and just like, this is amazing. We'll be face to face with our God. We'll see him coming, how whatever that looks. And we'll hit our knees in worship. That's exciting to me. But he wants us to prepare ourselves. He wants us to allow him to refine us. And it doesn't sound very exciting. But what's great about that is that God's heart is not to come in and destroy you. He doesn't want to just burn you to the ground. He wants to refine and restore and refresh and rebuild. That's his heart. That's the hope of the gospel, right? That there is a way that we can be made whole. There is a way that we can celebrate Jesus. There is a way that we can stand in his presence and look upon him and just be awed and overwhelmed by who he is and let that lead us into worship. And it's through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that's God's heart. God's heart is for each one to come to know him. But there's a refiner's process that we go through. After we get to know him, he wants us to prepare the way. He wants us to prepare our hearts. So not just, you know, out there, you know, preparing, you know, maybe not physically like lowering mountains and lifting up valleys, but he wants us to prepare our hearts. There's a commentary by Jay Neal, and I really like this. I'm just going to read word for word what he says about this analogy of the refiner's fire. The beauty of this picture is that the refiner looks into the open furnace or pot and knows that the process of purifying is complete, and the dross is all the bad stuff, right? You want what's pure, what's left. The dross all burnt away when he can see his image plainly reflected in the molten metal. That is a beautiful picture of what Christ wants us to be like. we're image bearers. And because of sin, because of the fall, because of, you know, all of the hoopla that's around us, we're full of dross. And he wants to come in and refine us so that his image is reflected more clearly all the time. So that when people look at us, they first and foremost see Jesus. And they're led to the love of the Father. I just love that picture. And it's only through that refining fire process. You can just see him just looking, you know. It's like you're in the middle of it and you're the one being refined. And you're like, this is not fun. You know, this sucks. We go through hard stuff. But God just sitting there with a smile on his face because he's seeing more and more of his character reflected in you. And more of what you do makes him smile and brings him glory and honor. That's awesome. That's where we need to be. So during this season, as we prepare for the anticipation and celebration of what's happening, let the refiner's fire purify you. It doesn't mean we can't celebrate. It doesn't mean we're constantly like on our faces, you know, like we're just kind of like a bunch of humdrum people who are like, oh, my life is horrible. I mean, we go through seasons of that. I get that. But ultimately, there is joy and strength in allowing him to refine us and take the processes of life and make us look more like him and reflect his image even better. So we're refined, and this is what it looks like after the refining process. So he goes through this refining process, and then he says, the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and offerings of and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in the days gone by, as in former years. You know why Jesus refines us? It's not so that you look good. It's not so that you're blessed. It's not so that you get stuff. It's not so that you can live a comfy, cushy life. It's worship. He refines you so that you come to the place where you can worship him in spirit and in truth. So that no longer does the spiritual bondage of sin have a hold on you, and you can actually choose to worship Jesus. Choose to worship him. Choose to walk in his ways. It's about worship. We get refined so that we have a spiritual freedom that isn't reliant on what's happening around us. We are refined so that we are set free to worship him in spirit and in truth. The things of this world don't own us. The more we're refined, the less a hold they have on us. So as we're moving towards this day of celebration on the 25th, you know, you can argue all about the day and, you know, we picked a day, okay, big deal. It's the 25th. Was it the day Jesus was born? Probably not. Does it matter? No. What matters is that we've chosen the day. Who cares how it's got there, but as the body of Christ, to celebrate him coming. And we can celebrate him in great, wonderful ways on that day. But we prepare now so that we can celebrate and worship him and enjoy that day. And then all of the noise and all of the things going on around us don't distract us. I mean, buy gifts, be generous. I have no problem with any of that. Eat well, have lots of cookies, have a donut extra, you know. Just don't make that your lifestyle, you know. But there's nothing wrong with those aspects of celebrating. But they become so much more enjoyable when they don't own us. When we buy into that image that we have to buy bigger and better and, you know, and all of that, it's like, don't let it own you. Prepare your hearts to celebrate Jesus and enjoy the people around you. So just really quick, just a couple of things that we can do. I'm going to give you some Christianity 101 things, all right? There's nothing rocket science about these things. But how do we do that? How do we, if anticipating and engaging with this season is part of us preparing the way for the Lord, you know, and preparing our hearts, how do we do that? I think that we prepare our hearts to receive him by being quick to repent. Be super quick to repent. Whether if you need to repent to somebody or you need to repent to the Lord, do it quickly. Don't hold offenses. Don't carry the baggage. Deal with your people or deal with your stuff quickly, which may be people, I don't know. But be quick to repent. Another one is, if you're on the other side of it, be quick to forgive. Just do it. This is basic Christianity. This isn't like super spiritual high level, like, oh, that's revelations. I need to repent. I mean, it's not. But it's really hard. It's really hard. Isn't it? Be quick to forgive. That's not easy, especially if it's a legitimate wound. But we need to be. We need to be quick to repent, quick to forgive. And another one I've said 8 billion times over the last, I don't know how long, fight the noise. There is so much noise right now. You need to fight it. It's part of preparing your heart to, you know, to engage with the Lord. And when he comes, fight the noise. And that's different for every one of you. It's going to look different for every one of you. We have people here who are like digital natives, and like their entire life, they have no clue what it's like not to have a digital device with them all the time. And we have other people who are like old school, who like when they were born, there was still horse and buggy. Okay, not quite. But you know what I'm saying? So this fight the noise is going to be different for everybody, but we all have noise. We all have this external pressure that's trying to push us and keep us from really hearing the Lord and trying to distract our hearts. So I just encourage you this season, as you prepare and anticipate the celebration that's coming, you know, on that day, and as we prepare for the Lord coming, whenever that day is, the second time, fight the noise. And the last one is to listen. Let's be people who listen. Let's listen to the Lord. As you fight the noise, it gives you opportunity to listen. And then let's listen to the Lord and do what he tells us to do. And let's listen to one another. Amen? In this season, I challenge you over the next 3 weeks to fight the noise, to listen to the Lord, to do what he's asked you to do, to celebrate him, with the people around you. And let's prepare our hearts to receive him. Amen. 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 That's it. That's all. Amen. Sure, why don't you come up? I just want to give you a moment to worship the Lord. And this is, once again, it's an opportunity to fight the noise. And maybe I just ask you to, in this moment, if there's something you need to repent of, you can do it now. If there's something you need to forgive, you could do it now. And fight the noise and the distraction that maybe is coming at you right now, and listen to the Lord in the context of worship. You can stand up, you can sit down, whatever you want, and when we're done, Trevor will pray for us, and then you're good to go. But until the second coming is here, it's going to be a constant battle to prepare our hearts and to engage with Jesus. So let's take that opportunity. Amen. Lord, I pray in this moment that you would guide us and direct us, that you would bring us into your presence, that you would help us to be open to your refining process. God, I pray for each one here that as we allow you to refine us, that in all the areas of influence that we have, all the areas where we connect and rub shoulders with other people and the places we work and play and wherever we're at, that your image would just be reflected with beauty and with power and majesty. Use us, Lord God, to bring your life and wholeness to this community and to the people around us, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.